From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns commences his next message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. In chapter 3, verse 5, just prior to the crossing of the Jordan River, Joshua commanded the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." In a message entitled Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises, Dr. Cairns reminds believers of God's call to personal holiness of life, a subject which receives all too little emphasis in this day. Indeed, the Bible makes it clear that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. For the children of Israel standing on the border of Canaan, the call to holiness was in preparation for and in anticipation of the moving and blessing of God. It still is. The first thing Dr. Cairns stresses about this command is that it was given to God's people, not to sinners. Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of this message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to speak of the present heavenly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people.
If ever you have to stand in court before a judge on anything serious, you will know the value of a good attorney or advocate, or at least you hope you'll have a good attorney or a good advocate. The Bible tells us that the Christian has an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us He now appears in the presence of God for us. John the Apostle wrote that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, as an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ appears before God to plead our cause. Now, let that sink in. He now appears in the presence of God for us. And why does He appear there? He appears to plead our cause, to hold us up and plead on our behalf before God. The idea is of an intercessor, yes. But the idea is of more than an intercessor. The idea in the advocate is one who is presenting arguments on our behalf. Now, He has the greatest argument to present on behalf of His people. It is an argument that demands that they be accepted, that they be welcomed into heaven, that they never be condemned and cast out into hell, but that they be given the highest place in glory. That argument is the shed blood of Christ. The same Christ who died and shed His blood now lives to present His blood before God. A great Scottish theologian, Hugh Martin, in a wonderful work on the atonement, spoke of Christ presenting His blood as an objective plea. In other words, Christ as our advocate is not acting the way advocates act on earth. In human courts of so-called justice, lawyers appearing on behalf of a guilty client will conjure every reason, true or false, every loophole in the law, to advocate the cause of their client, to seek either to get him off or to lessen his sentence. That's not how our advocate works with God. He's not looking for any lessening of the law. He's not looking for any loopholes in the law. He's not making up any stories. He's not telling some false theory as to why God should accept us. No, he is presenting an objective plea, a plea of absolute value and merit and truth. He's presenting his blood and he's saying, Father, I have died in the place of these people. I lived in their place. I lived fulfilling the law of God for them, to work out for them a perfect righteousness. I have died to put away the guilt of their sin. In other words, I have fulfilled the law in its precept, and I have paid the law fully in its penalty. In the name of these people, they are mine, and they, being mine, have a right to go to heaven, not because of what they have done, but because of what I have done. Father, look upon my precious blood. That's the basis of the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a glorious truth it is that he now appears in the presence of God for us. Is Christ your advocate? Is that your certainty? Are you sure that when you meet God, it'll not be a matter of you or anybody else trying to conjure up some false reason why you should escape hell and enter heaven, but it will be the matter that Christ, the Advocate, has given the perfect reason why you should enter heaven. Oh, it's imperative that you have Christ as your Savior. There's a hymn that says, I have a Savior. He's pleading in glory. A dear, precious Savior, though earth friends be few. And now he is watching in tenderness o'er me. And oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. That's my prayer. Oh, that my advocate were your advocate too.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Turn this morning to one verse that we were reading last week, so I'm selecting just the one verse out of the chapter. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. It's impossible to think about God in any biblical way without thinking about holiness. His name is holy. It's impossible to make any serious approach to God or to look for any demonstration of the goodness, greatness, and power of God without considering that he is jealous for his holy name, and he demands true holiness from his people. He says in Isaiah 57 and 17, or 15, I am the high and holy one, or lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Going on, he says, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Again and again in Scripture, the Lord warns against profaning his holy name. And he summarizes the whole teaching in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14, where with the utmost bluntness he makes the statement, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. He may be Jew or Gentile. He may be black or white. He may be rich or poor. He may have the name of one denomination or another. He may have many supposed spiritual experiences. He may have great pretensions and professions. But the emphatic statement of God in His Word is, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. In many ways, that is the message of the text I have taken this morning. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, in the sense of being eternally with Him in the glory of His presence. If your religion, if your profession has not made you genuinely holy, if God has not done a work that starts on the inside, and while yet imperfect in your experience, is nonetheless real, if God has not made you genuinely holy, then you will never see the Lord in the glory of His presence. And of course, you will not see the Lord in the intimacy of personal communion. Without holiness, there is no vision of the Lord in communion. Without holiness, there is no fellowship with the Lord in the Scripture or in prayer. Without holiness, the throne of God and of grace is fast closed against our souls. And as Joshua mainly means to impress upon all who read this verse, Joshua 3 verse 5, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord in the demonstration of His power and blessing. As I say, this is what Joshua had in mind as he spoke these words to the people of Israel. The children of Israel were on the borders of Canaan. The next day the Lord was going to do great things for them. He was going to lead them across the Jordan and into the promised land. As a nation, they had waited many, many years for this day. And that particular generation had waited some 40 years for this glorious and long anticipated occasion. They could not afford to miss the blessing that the Lord held out to them that day. And therefore Joshua said to them on the eve of that great occasion, he said, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In other words, as God's people, you should sanctify yourselves in preparation for and in anticipation of the Lord's powerful working among you. I want you to get that, for that's the synopsis of the whole text. Sanctify yourselves as God's people in preparation for and in anticipation of the Lord's powerful working among you. You see, holiness is always a necessary preparation for the blessing of God, for the moving of God among His people. A holy people will always be a blessed people. And you can always be sure that people who are genuinely blessed, among whom the Lord is doing great wonders, those people are a holy people. So I want us to take the words of Joshua. I want us to think of them very, very simply. When he says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I want us to take the main thought of his teaching here, as he calls the people of God to sanctify themselves. Holiness expresses the faith of God's people in His promises of grace. Holiness expresses, and it is the only true expression, of the faith of God's people in the promises of grace. Now, the very first thing that sits on the surface of the text is that the Lord gives this command to those who are His people. They are His redeemed. I need to make that clear right at the beginning. You see, this is not a prescription for sinners to gain salvation. This is not a command that tells people how they can work their way to heaven. These people were already redeemed out of Israel. They were already covered by the blood of the Lamb. They were already in covenant relationship with God. Sinners do not need to make themselves holy before they can come to Christ. It is true that in the very act of coming, they turn their back on sin. There's a real separation from the old life, and there is a real act of repentance. That's true. But it is heresy to tell men that they must cleanse themselves in order to be prepared to come to Christ. That's heresy. The entire invitation of the gospel is that sinners should come to Christ in order to be cleansed, in order to be made whole. You don't need to make yourself holy to make yourself acceptable to God in order to come to Christ. This is the genius, the glory, and the beauty of the gospel. If the gospel were in the terms that I have just mentioned, if the gospel were to sinners that you should make yourself fit to come to God through Christ, then which of us could ever come? There's not a sinner who has ever lived who would ever be saved. There would be no mercy in that. And yet, you know, that essentially is what passes for the gospel in the churches of Christendom today. Professed Christianity has become one massive exercise in self-justification, in the efforts of men to make themselves acceptable to God. The whole idea is, if I do enough, if I pay enough, if I go to church enough, if I am doing my best toward others enough, if I am kind enough, then surely, surely God will be kindly disposed to me. Surely then God will receive me. That's not a gospel. That's a recipe for damnation. There's nothing surer to condemn a soul to the midnight darkness of a lost eternity than that professed gospel. That's the devil's gospel. It is a perversion of truth to such an extent that it condemns everyone who embraces it to the lake of fire forever. The gospel is the gospel of free grace. It's addressed to sinners who know they're sinners. It's addressed to sinners who have no hope of being anything else but sinners in and of themselves. It is addressed to sinners who are beyond the help of sacraments, beyond the help of church, beyond the help of self-effort. Sinners tottering on the edge of hell. The gospel is addressed to them. It points to one who put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, who is received not by works but by faith, and who fully, finally, and eternally cleanses, justifies, accepts, and saves those who trust in him. Now this needs to be understood. Our text is addressed to those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And while it is true that sinners do not need to sanctify themselves in order to come to Christ for salvation, it is equally true that those who are saved and are redeemed must sanctify themselves to draw near to their God in communion, or to expect to be used of him in service. You see, saved people must be holy people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.